Live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
I'm Michael Cohen with producer Scott Eckersley filling in for Cheryl today. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly breaking a tie vote in one budget vote in the Senate this week. That's one of many budget bills passed through that body. He's joining me now to talk about where the budget process currently stands. Welcome to the show, Lieutenant Governor.
Pleasure to be with you today.
Now, budget bills are moving through the legislature at a rate that has rarely, if ever, been seen before. Aren't these spending bills enormously complicated and require some real bipartisan discussions before being moved?
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happened. There's been extensive committee hearings on these. In the past, what you've seen is a shameful display of procrastination, people that are just wringing their hands and too afraid to make a decision, and drug these decisions out through the summer and into the fall. But the reason that's not fair is because there are other entities that will be affected by the decisions we make, and it is critically important that we make prudent decisions in a reasonable time frame so that they have time to plan for the type of changes that we're in the middle of making because of the type of budget crunch that we face.
Now, seven Republican senators voting against the K through 12 education budget, with you having to place the deciding vote on that bill. And that's after the governor's original cuts were reduced. Doesn't that indicate that the administration is going too far in cutting funding to education?
These are really tough times that we face, and the situations are tough. And so it's not really surprising that there are folks that have disagreements about how things, how the decisions that are made and looking to make agreements and modifications and so forth. But keep in mind that there's 38 people in the Senate, there's 110 people in the House, and it takes 20 votes, including a tie-breaking vote in the Senate, and 56 in the House to make things go. That's democracy and how it works. There'll be disagreements, differences in philosophy and so forth. But we have taken the extra step to mitigate the impact on schools. Most areas across the board, we had about a 10% shortage, and schools was more like 4% cut.
Democrats point to this $1.7 or so billion business tax cut. If that action were not being taken now, wouldn't funding cuts to Michigan schools and state services be greatly reduced?
Not really. See, we made changes in the tax code that were mostly revenue neutral. I know it's a popular political thing to say for, just the rhetoric and the back and forth partisanship that we unfortunately see often to stretch the truth or, leave out important facts. But what we did is we eliminated credits and exemptions across the tax system so that when we made the change, it didn't create a really big hole in the budget. When we started this year with no tax changes whatsoever, we had a $1.5 billion, that's billion with a B, $1.5 billion budget deficit to start out. And so the changes that were required in the baseline spending of state government were going to be substantial unless we took the old political way, the typical politician fashion of just kick the can down the road and create a bigger problem for the next generation. That's something we didn't want to do.
I'm talking to Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly. Democrats also say the governor is taking almost $900 million out of the school aid fund, money that is supposed to be reserved specifically for education. Is that, in fact, what's happening?
No, not at all. The net amount of the school aid fund that will be spent on higher education is between $200 and $300 million, and I just encourage people to read their constitution. The constitution of Michigan, the one that we all swore an oath to uphold, said that the school aid fund is for school employee retirement, the K-12 system, and higher education. It's very explicitly written in there, and those kids that are going on to college and community college have a right to be supported as well.
The state revenue sharing program, money that municipalities say is theirs to begin with and that the state government doesn't have the right to institute cuts to that program. Do they have a point?
It's always tough to make changes. It really is. I would just ask everybody to consider the name that they're referring to, revenue sharing. Well, there's less revenue to share these days, and so the pie got smaller. And we're going to have to make adjustments to deal with it. These aren't easy things, but necessary. Again, unless we want to take the old politician route of just hit the can down the road and leave the problem to the next generation, take on more debt and make our kids pay for our inability to deal with tough problems.
Why has a tax on services been completely rejected? That would certainly cover the deficit.
Right now is not the time to increase taxes. I mean, the people of this state have paid so much already in terms of just a bad economy. And so what we really need to do is turn the economy around. We need more jobs. I mean, that's the answer to these problems, and not more taxes. So what we're looking for is a system that puts Michigan back on the map, and not just so that we can attract some business from the outside in, but we need an environment conducive to job growth for our Michigan employers. We need a system that works better for them, and that's really where we put the emphasis here. These small and mid-sized Michigan companies, people that live in our communities, that are entrepreneurs and innovators, and they know how to make jobs if the environment's right. Mm-hmm. We get jobs growing in this state, and all of a sudden all these other problems get a lot easier to handle.
We have less than a minute now. This group, Michigan Citizens United, today, they got approved for collecting signatures for this proposal on the November ballot to recall Governor Snyder. Do you find that laughable?
I don't want to describe efforts that any citizens take as laughable, but we're going to keep on doing our job. We know that that these type of changes are really, really difficult. That's why nobody's ever been willing to tackle them before. They're afraid of the political consequences, but what we're afraid of more than anything is leaving a financial mess and a train wreck of a state for the next generation.
Understood. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Lieutenant Governor Brian Cowley, Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. We'll be right back.